from the Couch Podcast. I am the one who hosts
you,
Peter Rogers, on the Couch Champions with Will Gibbons and John Sanderson. How is it going today?
It's going. It's getting great. Up north.
It's getting cold?
The great North Country.
Yeah. It was rainy today. But I'm starting to get ready for some winter time.
Some indoor sporting events?
Some indoor sporting events and mainly just some of that sweet, sweet snow. I know that sounds like a ridiculous thing to yearn for, but I'm ready for a chilly winter with snow, and when you feel like all you want to do is cuddle up in bed all day and drink hot drinks and all that jazz.
Yeah, right. And you are.
Oh, you're talking to the skiers over here.
That's true. That's true. You guys want to get out and brave the cold. But despite how exciting a conversation about our love of winter would be, that's not what we're here for. We're here to talk the green, talk the wonderful Celtics.
But we should mention this episode is brought to you, is dedicated to all our Siberian listeners. Love you guys.
Yep. Shout out to
f***ing cold people.
That was actually, it's a perfect transition from our talks of winter to our country of the week. So, shout out to Siberia.
Next week, we're coming for you, Lithuania.
We're just going to make our way around, everything that's not America.
Yeah, do we just do, like, Eastern Europe these days, or...
We seem to be focusing there, which is fine. We have a very large Eastern Europe following.
That's... Siberia might be in Asia, though.
Yeah, it is. But they tend to really like the Swedish Larry Bird, who's been coming on rather recently, coming on hot as of late. But anywho's, we got lots to talk about today. Of course, we have our, I guess, nutting on the Nets and friends, or drafting the draft, or basically looking at draft picks, as always, the update for that. And today's big topic and big discussion and big question is whether or not Jared Sullinger is legit. It has this recent little outburst from the big man, and I mean that both in his position and size. Is this sustainable? Or are we now finally seeing the Jared Sullinger that Celtics fans have been yearning for? But without further ado, we make our way towards the, I guess, nutting on the Nets is what we're working with now. But we're open for better names and delightful sound bites. We'll start with my team, which Will Gibbons has given me credit for, so thank you, Will Gibbons, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who I said were the number four most watchable team in the NBA, and I was met with much ridicule, are actually doing pretty darn well.
They're actually the number four team in the whole West Conference.
I know. They're 4-2, and Karl-Anthony Towns looks like the real deal, and Andrew Wiggins is a freak. So that team is just going to only get better, which is scary. But they're currently sitting at 4-2, and we have their first-round pick as long as it falls outside of 1 through 12. So far we got that pick. That's no problem. The Mavs are 3-3, and we have their first-round pick if it falls out of 1 through 7. And they are currently 8th in the West, so we're fine there. And, of course, the butt of all of our jokes in Boston and Celtics fans, the Brooklyn Nets are currently defeated at 0-7, and we own their first-round pick. So, Ben Simmons, I hope you find a place in Boston pretty soon, because you're coming.
Hey, nephew Ben, I hear there's a great real estate market in the Back Bay for you.
Oh, my God, did we just have Bill Simmons on the show?
He just left.
Oh, damn. I wish we could have gotten an interview out of him or something.
Also, shout out to Bill Simmons for telling his loyal followers to hammer the over on the New Orleans Pelicans, who have yet to win a game this year.
Seriously.
Thanks, Bill.
This Pelicans drop-off is unnerving to me and my Anthony Davis for MVP race.
I mean, it's not surprising because they literally have two healthy players, but you'd think they'd win maybe a game, I guess.
It's right? Just, yeah, this this drasticness of it, that's not a word. Whatever.
The profundity of it.
The profundity of it is surprising. So hopefully they can get back on track. But back to the Celtics, Danny Ainge is looking like a mother genius as we currently sit with more first round picks than we know what to do, including the number one pick overall. So Brooklyn Nets keep sucking, Timberwolves keep being great, and Mavs keep being average. And we are just going to be loaded with first picks.
Where, remind me when we got the Wolves pick. Was that from...
Wait, we have the Wolves pick?
We have the Wolves first-round pick, as long as it falls out of 1 through 12.
They could do that. I mean, like...
Yeah, I mean, they're doing great. I'm not entirely sure where we got that or how we got it.
Was that from, like, the Garnett trade 10 years ago? Or...
I don't think so. That would be amazing if it was.
Not to keep us away from the Celtics, but I know. Everyone's like, oh, who are the two teams that are going to play? It's like, the Blazers probably won't make the playoffs, and the Mavs won't, and the Thunder will replace one of those. And then everyone's like, oh, maybe the Jazz, maybe the Suns. But the Blazers are holding their own, and the Wolves are in there, and the Jazz are in there. And...
Tonight's
kind of suck right now.
Tonight's the showdown between Gordon Hayward and LeBron James, because that's a battle of all stars right there.
That's the rivalry we pay to see.
That is the biggest rivalry in the NBA right now, according to every promotion I saw on Twitter today.
And there's also Kevin Durant against the wooing faithful in DC.
Oh, that's true. And plus, we are at 8 slated to start off against the Milwaukee Bucks, the young upstart lanky defenders. The Frisky Boys. Anywho's. But yeah, so basically the Celtics are, if things keep playing out this way, I will both look like a genius for calling the Timberwolves the fourth most exciting team to watch in the NBA, and Danny Ainge will look like an even bigger genius for having... 4 first-round picks, 3 of which are in the lottery. So, genius. To the main question of the day, and I even posed this to Twitter, and guess what?
We got some responses.
I think the key is I have to just put it in poll form, because no one wants to take the time to actually comment. They just want to click a button and post.
That's a cool feature.
Is a cool feature. And thank you, Twitter, for incorporating that into tweets so that we could actually seem like we have active followers. We love you guys. Don't unfollow us because of this. Invite your friends. Tell them to follow us. But anyways, so the question is, Jared Sullinger obviously has had a very up and down pass with the Celtics. I have gone on record as saying he's gone. He's going to get traded very soon. I thought he was going to get traded at the end of the preseasons. Sadly, I owe John and Gibbons beer on that one. But he has yet to really blossom into kind of the big man, all-around big guy that the Celtics and Celtics fans thought he could be. This season going in, he seemed to be in better shape. His fitness was great. You know, the usual, all the stuff that Celtics fans have heard for years and years, really just 3 years since he's been in the league. This is his fourth year. But it seems to finally be working to a certain extent.
I think he has the Odell Beckham hair, which doesn't hurt.
That's true. I think that is probably where most of his power is actually coming from.
I think so. I think, right, we talked about the inevitability of him getting traded. Now Zach Lowe had like 36 bold predictions. And I was like, what is this, a BuzzFeed article? But he's like, Jared Sullinger and James Young will get traded this year. And I mean, it might still happen, but I think...
if it's going to happen, this is great, because now maybe you can get something back.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to happen, let's pull this trigger soon before any kind of slumping occurs. Because, I mean, against the Wizards, Sully had 21 points in 22 minutes, was 9 of 13, 3 for 4 from downtown, had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks.
What was that?
That was my computer telling me that I got a text, but I also feel like it was perfectly timed with what my point was, and that is that Jared Sullinger seemingly has put it together, more or less, maybe? And so the question is, we're not here to, it seems like Sully has been doing a good job. Sully seems to be hopefully back on track to a certain extent. The question is he legit? Is this sustainable? Is this something that we Celtics fans can rely on throughout the rest of the season? So without further ado, I pass this question unto you, Will Gibbons, to start us off.
Is it sustainable and is he legit? I think those are two valid but different questions. Is he legit? You know, begrudgingly, I think yes. I think he right now is playing legit, and statistically in this short period of time is, you know, field goal percentage is through the roof, and he's playing. I was watching highlights of the Wizards game. When was the Wizards game? Was that
Friday?
Friday.
I watched a lot of that game last night. I forget. And then he was like so physical on plays where he didn't even touch the ball, and like a bunch of like Crowder layups, and like I'm okay with him being a stretch four as long as he just like muscles down low and isn't a total wuss and like. Because he hit like 3 or 4 threes. Like, as long as he works in the trenches, I'm fine with him stretching it out.
Yeah, and not only the, like, hitting 3 to 4 threes, he's gotten very consistent from downtown. And so I don't think he needs to be someone who's camped out around the three-point line. But if he can consistently, if he shoots 3 to 4 a game and consistently hits 50% or more of those, that, you know, that's great. That's huge, because that's enough to just stretch the defense a little bit going forward.
I'm going to take a sort of a cop-out answer here, if that's okay with you guys. But
we'll accept.
Looking back on his career all the way, he was one of the better players in college basketball, or one of the most promising. And then he got hurt, and that's why the Celtics got him. He's been hurt both his years in Boston. He's good. He's always been good. It's not surprising that he can play basketball well. But what is important is that he can stay healthy and stay in shape, and we can't judge that right now. If he plays the whole season, he's going to be a pretty good player, because he has skills, and if he is in decent shape and can play defense, he'll be good. He's not, but it's just that part of being a good player is, I understand injuries happen, but when they happen every year, it's a skill to stay healthy. And if he has it, then yeah, that's great. But if he doesn't, then he's same old Sully that we've always had.
Yeah. And I just don't think with the amount of people who are in our big man rotation that I don't feel like the Celtics would want to take a risk on. Like he's performing and that's great. But I would think that the best thing to do is to ship him off in this high, in this production, in this kind of state where he looks great. He looks like a starting four who can get you both points and rebounds and the occasional assist here and there. But I would not trust his health to stay up. And I think with a very crowded front court, I just think he's expendable. And I think that...
Yeah, on the flip side, though, if they want to win, unless they're getting somebody who's similar to him in his position, they're at their best when he's on the floor right now. Like, David Lee is bad. He's not good.
Kelly's been bad. Zeller's been bad.
Yeah.
Amir's been great.
He's their guy. Kelly had a good game on Friday, but, like, the It's great to talk about trading him, but they might get a lot worse if they do, unless they get somebody back at that position that's better or as good.
So do you trade him? Do you trade him only for that position, or if you can get a pure shooter for the wing, do you trade him for that?
Honestly, it's tricky because like Zeller and Kelly and Lee, they obviously haven't been playing well, but who knows if that's like a usage problem? Like if they had more like regular playing time, it is crowded. Maybe if they got more consistent regular minutes, like maybe they will start playing better. And I don't know. It
seems to me at the three, we only have really a 2-person rotation, and that's Evan Turner and Jay Crowder.
Crowder is leading the NBA in steals.
I know. Jay Crowder, I mean, his defense is phenomenal. But sadly, that's not been the Celtics' issue. The Celtics' issue has been just getting offense going. And we burst onto the scene against the Wizards on Friday, which was great to see. But I think if you can trade Sully, if you package Sully and maybe James Young or someone else, some young developer, for a good three who can score, I think I make that trade because I think David Lee hopefully will take time, will adjust. I mean, he's...
The worrisome thing about him, though, is when is the last time he's been good?
That's true. That's true. But I also...
I mean,
but I think he knows the NBA, and I don't think he needs to be... I think we were getting... I was, at least, definitely getting way overexcited at the notion of him being...
Wait.
Constant.
Sorry. Did you just say that you were getting overexcited? I think my connection's cutting.
I mean, I know I'm normally the most calm and contained person, but
there's something wrong with the internet.
Let me hang up and start. Yeah, it actually was getting a little choppy when you said that. It was pretty good.
But it, you know, I think David Lee can work off the bench. I think Amir Johnson's proven himself to be a very good starter. And let's not also forget that there's someone currently sitting down in D-League who...
Jordan Mickey.
Yeah, you know, maybe mid-season could break onto the scene after getting some NBA experience under his belt.
No, actually, though, but, like,
I think the internet's fixed. That came through loud and clear.
We're back. We're back to normal Pete. We're good.
But, yeah, I mean, Mickey's perfect role is, like 15 minutes off the bench, you know? And I think these pieces will fall into place. I think you just need to commit to something. And I think, right, small forward is the biggest need. I'm confident the big guys will play well and play... I'd be used better. I don't know. Or I think, like, reps will help.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I just think, I think for me personally, offense is our biggest need. And it seems like while Sully is giving that to us in the bigs, we have tons of bigs. And, you know, maybe Sully is the answer. Maybe we keep Sully and we ship out someone else. Maybe we ship Kelly, though. That would make me very upset.
Because he eats the burrito in 4 bites.
Yes, that's my kudos. Thanks for taking that, you weed. But yes, Kelly Olynyk, who I months ago called the breakout star for the Celtics this year, has been performing both on and off the court. For those who haven't seen him eat a Chipotle burrito in 4 bites, commentated by Amir Johnson.
Actually a Moe's burrito. I did some research.
Oh, it's not Chipotle?
No, it's not Chipotle.
Well.
I've never been to Moe's.
I haven't either, but still.
It's pretty generic.
Any big-ass burrito in 4 bites is impressive. But anyways.
Hilarious.
It's hilarious. Great. And one of the things, too, you know what that's great about that video? Is it shows the whole, like, chemistry thing. You know, they're all getting along, and Amir Johnson, who just joined the team, is like... just all over it and laughing hysterically, and everyone's, yeah, it's great. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Beautiful. John and I were saying it was like, you know, the Warriors made a funny viral video last year on a plane, and the Celtics are doing it. But it is like, I don't know, if I were to describe the Warriors last year and this year, like, they're cohesiveness, I would say it's like a fraternity. It's just this like bunch of bros, like.
And so, you know,
the Celtics are. They seem like they enjoy each other's company.
Exactly.
Like, that's big.
And you see, I mean, and maybe not this year, but maybe next year, if you keep the same kind of staple of people around, you can get what the Warriors have this year, which is utter dominance and taking the NBA by storm.
We'll get there.
So I think generally our thoughts are, I don't think this is sustainable for Sully, and I don't think it's just a skill point. I agree with John that it's probably more to do with his history track record and his injury track record, and whether or not he'll be able to stay on the court. And in fact, Twitter would like to agree with us. By agree with us, I mean it's 50-50. So no opinions from Twitter.
50-50 was like 400 to 400 or something.
Oh, definitely. Not 2-2 with four people voting. And one of those people, me. But yes, so it's 400 voting and 200 said that Sully can sustain this. He is legit. And 200 said that Kelly, this is unsustainable by Sully. I've been saying Kelly, excuse me. I have Kelly Olynyk on the brain. I'm still mesmerized by his ability to eat a burrito.
He had like a little, I mean, it's still really impressive, but he like folded it a little. I don't know.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I know that.
I mean, eating that thing is amazing. I'm excited to see going forward for the next few weeks, and I'm sure we'll keep track of it here on the podcast, how Sully's playing and Sully's performance. But it'll be interesting to watch and keeping forward, because I think if Sully keeps this level of play up for even a week or so, I would not be surprised if there are some very serious trade whispers flying around the gardens, since that would be the time to get rid of him. If you're gonna trade Sully at any time, if he has a solid week and a half of production, that's the time to do it. Shall we wrap up with some kudos and some pudos?
Sure.
Mine was rudely taken from me by Will Gibbons, but kudos to Kelly Olynyk and pat myself on the back for calling him the breakout star of the 2015 Celtics team. La-di-da-di-da.
We had no idea it would be on a private jet with a face full of Mexican food, but that's great.
I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I think I pretty much nailed that one. And so that's all I've got for the around the sports world. What about you, Mr. Sanderson?
Kudos.
Yes,
kudos.
Sir.
Kudos. Wow, I was not ready for that one.
This is really right. Come on.
Why do you surprise us with this?
We never do it.
Yeah, we've never done this before.
This is not a weekly occurrence.
Oh, I got a kudos.
Well, you can
take a step in.
Yeah.
Save me from myself.
I'd like to give a kudos to my fantasy team for racking up points.
You had a game.
Oh, man. And I'd like to give kudos to John for letting me pick up D'Angelo Williams off the waiver wire.
Oh, nice.
Now he was still available.
Didn't he just immediately pay dividends?
Very casual 36 points.
Oh, speaking of which. Okay, I'm sorry, Gibbs. I didn't mean to interrupt. You continue with your thought.
Oh no, I was just a hodgepodge team. I needed a win. I'm in the playoffs right now, and I needed. Derek Carr went off. D'Angelo Williams, Antonio Brown. You might know him.
Yeah, Antonio Brown had a game.
Anyway,
I'm going to say I had forgotten about this. Pudos. I'm giving big pudos to non-contact injuries. And I'm going to pour some out for Deion Lewis, who not only was a fantasy darling on my other leagues, on my team in another league of mine, but just he was a great success story, coming back from a broken leg and being out of the league to being one of the most explosive offensive players in the league this year for the Patriots. And got himself a big contract with us, and then just, I don't know what it is, just planted on his leg funny, and next thing you know, it's torn ACL and out for the season. So, kudos for non-contact injuries, and hopefully, Deion Lewis, you'll be back better than ever next year with a fully repaired ACL. And if maybe they'll do what the Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson treatment to your ACL, and you'll come back and be the greatest running back in the league.
Oh, I don't know what it is.
Perfect.
But it's something that I think we should discuss. How about, let's talk about Wes Welker.
Hunyo Issa.
For a hot second.
Say in my native tongue. Elaborate, John. Give us the setting for this discussion.
Well, the Rams signed Wes Welker, who was pretty much he was out of football, I think partly because of concussions, partly because he wasn't really that great anymore. But
because he knows how to have a good time at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, and he gets down. I don't know. I just think I don't know. Should we be mad at somebody? Should we not be mad at somebody?
Well, we should be mad at the Rams, but not like surprised.
But see, I don't even know if this is the Rams' fault. We should be mad at Wes Welker.
But like, should we? I mean, I don't know. You have to imagine that there, like, some doctor told them that it was okay, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, but at a certain point, though, you should, as a human, just be like, yeah, this thing that I love, I'd love to play again, and I have a shot, and I feel like I'm in great shape. But if the dude takes one more hard hit to the head, who knows if he ever gets up?
But it's also, like, at this point, it's like, well, whatever, like, my head's effed anyway, so,
yeah,
and I'm gonna have, I don't know, does he have kids? I don't know if he has kids, but
he's married to some model.
Yeah. I don't know. You can't fault a guy for wanting to, like, make a... I understand that he's made, like, a S ton of money during his career, but...
Look at John self-bleeping himself today.
What?
Self-bleeping yourself today.
I know.
You're so mature. I understand that, but my thought, I guess, if you're going to do that, if you want to keep playing... I understand that the Rams need a wide receiver, and so it seemingly was your only chance. But of all the divisions to go into, you're going to go into the NFC West, where it's just defense, defense, and more defense. And you're just going to have huge linebackers just crushing down on you across the middle. So I feel like you should have picked some, you know, division where there wasn't such a defensive emphasis, and so he could survive a little bit longer.
It's also just like they have a need; it's a wide receiver.
Like pick the NFC South. There's no defense.
Good, there. And I don't know.
I'll be interested to see how he plays. I think that's at the root of it, because if he is in great shape and can produce, then that's a great pickup for the Rams. But I'm going to be interested to see how he takes his first hit and if he still has the kind of him, the Wes Welker famous, now Julian Edelman famous, just popping back up from a hit. I don't think he has that. But
no, and I think it was infuriating today, too. I think people forgot how bad Wes Welker was and has been, because people are like, oh, yeah, he's like Edelman. They're like, no.
No.
Yeah, like Edelman, like peak Edelman is significant. Like they're both white and play in the slot and played for Tom Brady. But like Edelman gets so many more yards after the catch and like creates, I don't know, after the play. And
plus, Edelman probably catches a pass that's a little bit over your shoulder and you have to lean back for a first down.
Too soon.
I'm just saying.
Edelman dropped a very similar pass in last year's Super Bowl, and he just happened to go back to him on the next.
That's
drive.
True.
No, that was a bad throw by Brady.
That was Brady
but
shot
that.
That
was the same.
But
it was
the same.
About as
yeah.
bad as the Wes Welker.
No, that's
it
true.
It was very catchable.
That's true. Wes has hit him in the hands.
Yeah.
You pull
but
that.
Weren't there two to Wes? Anyway,
there's one like the one really bad or one like really. When he was wide open.
Wide open. Ugh. Anywho's, no need to dwell in the sad past. But, yeah, hopefully Wes, I mean, if he can play, great. Hopefully this isn't life-altering. this decision to come back into the NFL. But with that, with all that said, we shall wrap up this week's podcast. So as always, make sure to follow us on Twitter at FTC Podcast. As you can now tell, we have polls all the time. We tweet out, and you could be one of those 200 plus people to occasionally respond to us. So that would just be lovely. Also, make sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow and like us or give us 5 stars, rate us, what have you. The usual jizz jazz. And until next week, I'm your host, Peter Rogers, on a couch of champions with William Gibbons and Jonathan Sanderson. And
neither of our real names.
I'm just trying to be extravagant here. God!
Listeners, you gotta watch Silicon Valley and an interview with the stars of that. No, we're making, I want to give a kudos to us and the people involved. We're making a wall of legends in our abode.
Ooh.
And don't want to get to your head, but one Peter Rogers has a place on it.
Oh my goodness, I am honored.
Well, we haven't decided if he's having it or his haircut is having it.
Ooh.
Yeah, we've got Paige, we've got, it's a mix of like, Michael Scott's and people we know. It's a
hodgepodge. Maybe we should incorporate that. We can have a wall of champions above our couch, and we can place champions throughout the week on it. Maybe we can adapt that and make that a beautiful segment. But anywho's, until next week, stay comfy and don't leave the couch.